Road of Life. Brought to you by Duz, D-U-Z, Duz, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call
Mrs. Larson didn't.
She didn't, but now she does.
Yes, now she does use Duz.
Now Mrs. Larson knows Duz, D-U-Z, does everything in her wash. She's convinced this new kind of soap is best. Why, it's even improved her disposition. She used to be a regular crosspatch on wash day. She'd tell her husband...
What a job your work shirts are. Do you swim in grease?
She'd fuss at Sonny.
You wouldn't dirty up so many towels if you had to wash them.
And she'd tell her daughter...
I know your rayon undies don't look bright anymore, but I'm no magician.
Ah, but then Mrs. Larson became a lady who does instead of a lady who didn't. She tried Duz, the new kind of wash day soap that does everything. She found Duz gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for getting tough dirt out easy, plus greater safety for the nice colors you wash. Now Mrs. Larson says...
Bring on those work clothes. Duz will clean them up pronto and without hard scrubbing.
Sure, Duz can't be beat for cleaning power.
Who said it was hard to get towels white? Duz does them dazzling.
Of course, Duz can't be beat by any soap for white washes. The true whiteness you want.
Those colored rayons are no worry anymore. Duz leaves them brighter.
Didn't I say Duz is safer for those nice colors? Duz does everything. It's been proved best in actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps. Of them all, Duz has the best combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So be a lady who does. You'll find Duz does best.
Duz does everything.
And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Old friends prove best during hard times. With a pair of difficult problems saddled upon his shoulders, Jim Brent finds that those friends of his of long standing are the first to rally round him. Take tonight, for instance. Earlier in the day, Sylvia Bertram, a nurse who has known Jim for years, invited him to dinner at her home. Now, at 9:30 in the evening, as they sit at the table, Sylvia, seeing that her guest is staring thoughtfully into space, decides to bring him back to reality. Therefore, when she asks...
A little more coffee, Jim?
She has a purpose.
Jim, a little more coffee?
I beg your pardon?
I said, would you care for a little more coffee?
Oh, no, thank you.
Don't you like the pie?
The pie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's delicious.
Well, then why don't you finish it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm all filled up, Sylvia.
Filled up with what?
Oh,
certainly not with my cooking. You've hardly touched a dinner, Jim.
Oh, I'm afraid I had a late lunch. I know I shouldn't have. I hope you'll forgive me.
I always have. I don't know how I can stop now.
Oh, that's such a shame. Fried chicken is a favorite dish of mine.
Why do you think I fixed it?
You mean you remembered that?
Well, of course. I have a wonderful memory. That doesn't seem to be one of your accomplishments, though.
What made you say that?
Well, this is exactly the same dinner, in the same setting, candlelight and all, that we used to have every Saturday night.
Why, that's true.
Well, it didn't seem to stir up any recollections until I mentioned it.
Oh, it's been years, Sylvia.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
I'll have to confess to something. The candles and the lace cloth and the shining silver reminded me of...
What? Carol?
Funny, isn't it?
Is it?
Well...
By the way, have you heard from Carol?
Yeah, once.
How is she?
Oh, she was fine when she wrote. You know, she visited an aunt and uncle of hers in Iowa.
Oh, a cigarette, Jim?
No, thanks. She wrote that Janie loved it there, that she was being spoiled by her aunt and uncle. Have you ever seen Janie with her hair fixed in pigtails?
No, I don't believe I have.
She looks like a doll. Cutest thing in the world.
Well, Janie's a very pretty little girl.
I'm sure she's the image of Carol.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think there's some resemblance to you.
Honestly?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been able to see it.
Her eyes are like yours. You have very attractive eyes, Jim. Your lashes are so long it isn't even fair. They make women jealous.
I don't like that word.
What word?
Jealous.
Oh? Why?
Well, if it weren't for that, Carol and I might never... Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk this way, Sylvia. I've been doing it ever since I arrived. That's taking advantage of your hospitality.
Well, I admit it isn't exactly the way guests are supposed to behave, but since you feel the urge to discuss your wife and child all evening, I'll put up with it.
Nope. It's positively rude, and I've gone on long enough.
I don't mind.
Well, I do, and I'm going to change the subject right now. It's been ages since we've had a chance to talk. I've no idea what you've been doing or who you've been seeing. Tell me, what are you doing with your spare moments?
To be frank, I'm not interested in meeting new people. What I've been doing is working. And the people I've been seeing have been patients, doctors, and other nurses. That sums up everything in short order. Let's go back to you.
Well, why me?
I have a notion there's something more on your mind about Carol.
What gave you that idea?
You've been hedging around all evening, talking around things. You've been absent-minded. You haven't heard half of what I've been saying.
Oh, I didn't know I'd been that bad. I'm sorry again, Sylvia.
I don't want an apology. I want an explanation. Have you been feeling all right?
Oh, I'm fine.
You were terribly depressed when I met you at the hospital this morning. Even your suddenly accepting my dinner invitation seemed rather strange. What is it, Jim?
Well,
go ahead.
Carol's in Reno.
So?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't try to tell me that's a surprise. I took it for granted she was there. You told me yourself a few weeks ago that...
Well, you don't understand, Sylvia. I talked to her mother a couple of days ago, and she told me that she had an idea Carol would return to Chicago after her visit in Iowa.
What made her think that?
Well, she said that she didn't think Carol would have ever stopped over to visit her uncle and dad if she hadn't wanted time to think.
I see.
But her mother was wrong.
How do you know?
She phoned me this morning. She just received a wire from Carol.
From Reno?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's the trouble.
Yes, I had been hoping that perhaps...
You sound like a man who's in love with his wife.
Cigarette?
No, thank you. Do you know what I thought was wrong?
What?
I thought it was Frazier.
Frazier?
Mm-hmm. I figured you were worried about that meeting.
Oh, no, I haven't dwelled on that too much.
You haven't?
No, in fact, the only real time I spend on it is when someone starts warning me about it.
Did you ever consider paying some attention to those warnings?
Oh, now, Sylvia, don't you start on
that. Jim, you'll admit that the people who've been giving you these little gems of advice aren't completely unintelligent.
Well, of course they're not.
And all they want is what's best for you.
I realize that, Sylvia, and I appreciate their interest. It's just that I think the whole thing's being exaggerated.
I know I shouldn't say this, Jim, but I'm going to anyhow. It's my opinion that Grant Frazier is an absolute blot on the medical profession.
Why do you say that?
I've heard a lot about him, Jim. All of us have. And while I did duty at City, I saw him in action. I wouldn't say he's the most ethical man I've ever seen.
I'm ashamed of you, Sylvia. What do you mean by listening to rumors? That's all they are. They're probably started by people envious of Frazier's position.
I doubt it. I think they're all very well-founded.
Well, I don't. I'm getting a bit tired of everyone running him down. After all, he's human. He has his bad points, but he probably has a lot of good ones, too.
Not any that you could notice.
You just refuse to recognize them because you're prejudiced.
Well, it seems peculiar that almost everyone is prejudiced against Dr. Frazier, doesn't it?
Not at all. It's merely the group of people we know. There are other groups, undoubtedly, who are very impressed with him.
The very small social set?
I'm not saying who, but I am saying...
Jim, I don't want to argue with you over Frazier.
Argue? I guess I was getting all heated up.
You certainly were.
Oh, I've never cared much for Frazier, but I was defending him because suddenly all my friends have cautioned me that he's a super wizard with horns. They seem to have, well, they've decided he mixes magic potions and has an evil eye.
When is the meeting, Jim?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Good heavens.
Well, I thought you knew.
No. Somehow I thought it was in the far-off future.
Well, not so far. About 20 hours.
Jim, you're going home this instant.
What? What? Why am I being put out? Did I insult someone?
You insulted Frazier last week, and that was enough.
Well, I thought you didn't like him. Is that why I have to leave?
Here, your muffler.
Oh, okay.
And your coat. You have to get a good night's sleep.
Oh.
I want you to be all rested up for that meeting tomorrow.
It's awfully early, Sylvia. Do you mind if I read for a while before I go to sleep?
Well, not too long.
All right. I give up. Thanks a lot for dinner, Sylvia.
Don't mention it. Your hat, Doctor.
Already? Night.
Good luck, Jim.
Thanks, Sylvia.
You let me know what happens tomorrow, won't you?
Of course. Good night.
As he walked down the stairs, Jim Brent realized that there was no escaping it. Wherever he went, people cautioned him against Frazier. The meeting had suddenly become the chief topic of conversation. But it wasn't Frazier he wanted to talk about. It was Carol. As he left Sylvia's home and started toward his car, however, Jim was surprised to find himself mumbling absent-mindedly.
Sylvia certainly sent me out fast. Well, maybe I should give a little thought to that meeting. Maybe it isn't going to be as easy tomorrow as I think.
I wonder if you have any idea how many old cars went to the junk heap in 1944. 4,000 a day. The cars that are still on the road aren't getting any younger either. And since most war workers depend on private automobiles to get them to their jobs, well, we've got a problem on our hands. The transportation situation is getting more serious by the minute. Cars are wearing out. Gasoline is short. Tires for civilian automobiles are scarce. Is there anything we can do about it? Yes, there is. We can, we must share our cars. Join up with the people you work with. Ride together in one car instead of several. Carpooling will keep America's transportation system from breaking down. Carpooling will make our cars last longer, save gasoline, conserve tires. It's absolutely necessary that you join a carpool. So necessary that now holders of B and C books cannot get the full 3-month gas allotment unless they are carpool members or can prove it's impossible to form one. Do everything you can, every time you can, to share your car. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. On the home front, fight the war against waste. Don't waste soap in your dishpan. Soap contains vital war materials.